If you would turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 will be in verse 7. Today I'm going to be talking about spiritual rest. And I think all of us can think about a time in our lives where we can relate to this story that we're about to read. Here in Acts chapter 7 is when Paul is speaking for what feels like forever. And Eutychus happens to not have enough rest because he falls asleep in the window. And then he falls out of the window. And I think all of us can think of a time where we might have dozed off during church. How we can see how it's very possible for Eutychus to be in this situation. I know that I can, and I probably have a few times. You may think of a time that you were a child, and instead of paying attention during church, you were laying on your mom's lap or something like that. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, sitting at the window, sank into a deep sleep as Paul still talked longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down and bent over him, and taking him in his arms, said, 'Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him.' And when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten, he conversed with them a long while until daybreak, and so departed. And they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted." In this story here, we see that Eutychus is taken by a deep sleep. He falls out of this window and he dies from this sleep. And we can see here that it's important for us to have rest. I want you to think about just this week alone. Maybe you've been cooking this week. Maybe you've been traveling this week. Maybe you've been just all over the place trying to do things for everybody, for your family. Think about how much rest you were able to get during this Thanksgiving break. I know for me, a lot of the rest that I got came the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and I didn't really get much leading up to that. But your soul goes through the same things that your physical body goes through as well. Every day, at least most days, we try to give our bodies rest. You know, 6 to 8 hours of sleep, hopefully upwards of 8 hours of sleep for most of us. We always try to give our bodies rest, but how often do we give our souls the same rest that our bodies get? I want you to turn over to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is something that, you know, we've all heard before since we were very young. It's God resting on the seventh day. God gives us the example of how we're supposed to rest. In Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, "And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." Now, of course, we don't partake in the Sabbath today, but every day, or at least once a week, we need to set apart time where we can give our spirit rest. Just like we set apart time every day to give our physical bodies rest, our spirit that goes through torment, that goes through trials inside of our bodies every single day, we need to give it rest as well. Now, whenever you're thinking about this rest, it's very important to know where we can find this rest, how we can find it and how we can use it to our advantage. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, we'll be looking at verse 28 through 30. In verse 28, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I found it so. Every time I read that passage, it makes me think of that song and the rest that God provides for us. The reason that God provides rest for us is because He's the creator of our souls. He's the one that made it to where we can live with Him again one day. And without Him, our souls wouldn't be able to be with Him for eternity. We have Him to thank, not only for our creation, but for the rest that He provides. God wants us to use our souls for good. It says here that He wants us to learn from Him, learn from Jesus. When we learn from Jesus, when we learn from God, we learn that our souls are the most important that we have. To preserve our souls, to give rest to our souls so that they can be powerful, so that they can be utilized the best way that God has planned for us, that is the most important thing that we can do. If you would turn over to Exodus 33, we'll be there in just a second. Talking about Moses here, in Exodus, there's such a long, long list of things that happen for the Israelites as they're taken out of Egypt. And Hunter touched on this a little bit last week as he was talking about being thankful. And it says, you know, in Exodus 13, they're taken out of Egypt and they're headed to Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And from chapters 19 through 33, there's just so much going on. There are so many things. It would take forever to just unpack all that in a sermon. And there are so many things that go on and so many things that Moses is going through that, excuse me, all the people are going through as they're led out of Egypt into this land. Now remember, this isn't the land that God had said that they were going to be provided. This was not the land that they were promised. They're actually going to be, in chapter 33, leaving this land to go to the promised land of the ancestors. So we will please look at verse 12. We'll be reading verse 12 through 23. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight, and I do know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Now, I want you to think about all these things that not only the people are going through, but specifically Moses is going through. If you've ever led anything, maybe it's a family, a workplace, you know, something at school, you know, a project, whatever it might be, you know that the first time that you lead something, it is not by choice. The first time you lead something, it is because it needed to be done. The first time that you lead something, you're confused. You may not know exactly how to go about every situation that comes up for you. Whenever you're leading something, it's going to be difficult. And we can see Moses is clearly in shambles here. I mean, God tells him, he says, "My presence will go with you and my presence will give you rest." But Moses is like, "Okay, I need to be 100% sure here. Like, don't tell me that if it's not true. I need to be 100% here because I don't really know what's going on. I don't want to go to this land if it's not all that you say it is. I don't want to take all these people and risk everything without knowing that your presence is certain, without knowing that your glory will be served." And God tells him again, "My presence will go with you. My presence will give you rest." Now God leads him. He provides for him as he has provided for them all along in the mountain of Sinai. He covers him with his hand. How great is it to be covered by God's hand? No matter what we do, no matter where we go in this life, we know that we're covered by God's hand. We know that he will always provide for us rest. Now, being in college, there's so many things that you're just not ready for, that are unseen. I know a lot of you know that. A lot of us are finding that out as we go. Even as a senior this year, I'm still every single week just being hit with things I'm not ready for. Now, you can try your best, but there will be something every semester, just about every week, that you won't be prepared for. But I can find comfort knowing that God gives me rest. I saw I saw this post, and it said this 3-year-old said that she wanted to be like a veterinarian or something like that, maybe a doctor or a nurse, and her parents told her, they're like, "You really need to study hard, you need to get really good grades, you go to a really great college, and you need to, you know, go into nursing school." Well, she said, "It's only 4 things. And I saw an actual nursing student comment under it. They said, "I've told this to all of my friends, I've shown it to all of them, and every time that we are hit with something that we're not ready for, every time that we're busy, we tell each other, it's only, you know, blank amount of things." This 3-year-old is changing lives. That's what God does for us, isn't it? God shows us these things that we're dealing with, and he's like, what are you so worried about? Like, this may seem like a million things to you, but for me, it's just a few things. It's just a few things. God will always provide for us. He will always provide for us rest. He will always provide for us a way. The rest that we receive in God is essential to our success. Turn over to Hebrews 4. In Hebrews 4, they're actually continuing to talk about rest. And they talk about Moses as well. And basically here they're talking about how, you know, Moses was that guy. You know, he was, even though, like, behind the scenes that we can see, but they all couldn't see, even though we could see that sometimes he was struggling, Moses was still that guy. You know, he was talking with Jesus. He was talking with God, and he was the mediator of the old covenant. And people knew that he was very powerful. People knew that he was talking with God. But this is saying here, Moses isn't God. Like, you need to get this straight. You need to make sure that you are resting your souls so that whenever things like this happen, so that whenever you have a powerful leader, you're not confused on who's really the Most High. And we'll read that right now, starting in verse 9. Hebrews 4, verse 9. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into division of soul and of spirit and joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I looked this up and I was like, you know, Hebrews is kind of confusing. Really, the whole Bible is kind of confusing. So I went to, you know, Google, and I tried to find just some better thoughts on this, some a little bit simpler terms for this. And what I saw online is that this passage is telling us God created the earth and then he rested in it. God has already created everything that we need to survive. So that whenever we are struggling with something, whenever we're facing these battles that we're not sure, that we haven't fully made up our minds, we haven't fully overcome this, we can escape all the things that we are working on, and we can rest in the things that he's already completed. This rest is essential to our souls. Without the rest that God provides, our souls aren't going to be as strong. They're not going to be as ready. They're not going to be as complete. With this rest, we will succeed. Turn over to Leviticus 25. I don't know if you've ever read entirely through Leviticus. It's kind of difficult to read entirely through Leviticus because Leviticus is just it's a lot of laws. It's a lot of now, I don't know if any of you have fully read through the laws that we have in America, but it's basically the same thing in retrospect. You know, if you were to read through every single law of America, and then you were to read through every single law that is spoken in Leviticus, you would be very similar. But there's a lot of great things that we can take from this. Even though they're not technically laws to us because it was under a different covenant, we can take a lot of things from this. In verses 1 through 7, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, saying, 'Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land that I give you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. For 6 years you will sow your field, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruits. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field or prune your vineyard. You shall not reap what it grows of itself in your harvest, or gather the grapes of your undressed vine. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. The Sabbath of the land shall provide food for you, yourself, for your male and female slaves, and for your hired worker and the sojourner who lives with you, and for your cattle and for the wild animals that are in your land. All its yield shall be for food. Not only is this rest essential for us, but we can see here in Leviticus, it was essential for the land. And it wasn't necessarily about the rest in itself, but it was about the principle of it. You know, it was about making sure that we were following God's example of having the Sabbath, or they were in that time. But we can take the same thing. You know, say you're working very hard. You're working very hard in whatever you do, whatever your profession is, and you're tiring yourself out. You're getting to a point where it's hard to just think every day. It's hard to think naturally, and it's hard to, you know, you're going to work and you're trying to perform your best, but you're working so hard that you're tripping over your own feet. And you need rest. You need rest to be able to provide to your work. You need rest to be able to keep work and church separate. That's what the Sabbath day was all about. You know, you work during the week and then you take a day so that you can get away from all of that and you can give yourself to God. This land, it worked for 6 years, and then for 1 year, it gave itself to God. And God always gave back. Amen? If we take our time and we take this time to rest in God, He will give back. It's just like everything else we do. If you give your all during worship, if you give your all when you give, God gives back. Grammy said this week, there's no better giver than God. And it's so true. God will always provide for us. And let's look at Psalm 116, and then we'll close. It wouldn't be right to talk about rest and not talk about Psalm. Psalm 116, verse 1 through 7 says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, He saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you. God delivers us. He always provides for us. He always takes care of us. As I've mentioned, this rest is essential to our souls. You always have to give your rest, your spirit time to rest so that it can work the way that God wants it to. I know I've said that over and over, but repetition is key whenever you're trying to get out a main point. We need to let our souls rest. Our souls are going through a war every single day between good and evil. And even more so now, we have so much in the media and TV and, you know, things that we see every single day. Our souls need rest. Our souls need active rest. Our bodies, when we rest, it's not active. You know, like we have to try to close our eyes. But at some point in time, if you don't rest your body, your eyes are going to close on their own. Our souls don't do that. If we're not actively taking time to rest our souls, it's just like if you have a computer or a phone, whatever, it's not going to be as efficient. It's not going to do what you want it to. It's not going to do what God wants it to. There's so much that God has given us that we can use our souls for. I challenge you today that throughout this week, throughout the holidays, things get stressful. We're towards the end of school. We're towards the start of a new year. I want you to take 15 minutes a day, you know, an hour on Saturday, whatever it is that can fit in your schedule. Actively rest your soul. Sit somewhere and look at God's creation. Let it remind you of His power. Let it remind you of the beauty that He's given us to live. I mean, this earth is so beautiful. It's only made for us to live. Nowhere else can you truly live the way that we live here. God gives it to us.